And now, Chapter 12, the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam summarized. Sutta Goswami said, offering my obeisances to the supreme religious principle, devotional service, to Lord Krishna, the supreme creator, and to all the Brahmins, I shall now describe the eternal principles of religion. O great sages, I have narrated to you the wonderful pastimes of Lord Vishnu, as you inquired about them from me. Hearing such narrations is the suitable engagement for a person who is actually a human being. This literature fully glorifies the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who removes all his devotees' sinful reactions. The Lord is glorified as Narayan, Rishikesh, and the Lord of the Sattvatas. This literature describes the mystery of the Supreme Absolute Truth, the source of the creation and annihilation of this universe. Also presented are divine knowledge of Him, together with the process of its cultivation and the transcendental realization one achieves. The following topics are also narrated. The process of devotional service, together with its subsidiary feature of renunciation, and the histories of Maharaj Parikshit and the sage Narad. Also described are saintly King Parikshit sitting down to fast until death in response to the curse of a Brahmin's son, and the conversations between Parikshit and Shukdev Goswami, who is the best of all Brahmins. The Bhagavatam explains how one can attain liberation at the time of death by practicing fixed meditation in yoga. It also contains a discussion between Narad and Brahma, an enumeration of the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and a description of how the universe was created in progressive sequence, beginning from the unmanifest stage of material nature. This scripture also relates the discussions Vidura had with Uddhava and with Maitreya, inquiries about the subject matter of this Purana, and the winding up of creation within the body of the Supreme Lord at the time of annihilation. The creation effected by the agitation of the modes of material nature, the seven stages of evolution by elemental transformation, and the construction of the universal egg from which arises the universal form of the Supreme Lord, all these are thoroughly described. Other topics include the subtle and gross movements of time, the generation of the lotus from the navel of Garbhodakashayi Vishnu, and the killing of the demon Hiranyaksha when the earth was delivered from the Garbhodak ocean. The Bhagavatam also describes the creation of demigods, animals, and demoniac species of life, the birth of Lord Rudra, and the appearance of Svayambhuva Manu from the half-man, half-woman Ishvara. Also related are the appearance of the first woman, Shatarupa, who was the excellent consort of Manu and the offspring of the pious wives of Prajapati Kardama. The Bhagavatam describes the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the exalted sage Kapila, and records the conversation between that greatly learned soul and his mother Devahuti. Also described are the progeny of the nine great Brahmins, the destruction of Daksha's sacrifice, and the history of Dhruva Maharaj, followed by the histories of King Prithu and King Prachinabhari, the discussion between Prachinabhati and Narad, and the life of Maharaj Priyavrata. Then, O Brahmins, the Bhagavatam tells of the character and activities of King Nabi, Lord Rishabha, and King Bharata. The Bhagavatam gives an elaborate description of the earth's continents, regions, oceans, mountains, and rivers. Also described are the arrangement of the celestial sphere and the conditions found in the subterranean regions and in hell. The rebirth of Prajapati Daksha as the son of the Prachetas and the progeny of Daksha's daughters, who initiated the races of demigods, demons, human beings, animals, serpents, birds, and so on, all this is described. O Brahmins, also recounted are the births and deaths of Dhritarasura and of Diti's sons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, as well as the history of the greatest of Diti's descendants, the exalted soul, Prahlad. The reign of each Manu, the liberation of Gajendra, and the special incarnations of Lord Vishnu in each Manvantara, such as Lord Hayashirsha, are described as well. The Bhagavatam also tells of the appearances of the Lord of the Universe as Kurma, Matsya, Narasingha, and Vamana, and of the demigods' churning of the milk ocean to obtain nectar. An account of the great battle fought between the demigods and the demons, a systematic description of the dynasties of various kings, and narrations concerning Ikshvaku's birth, his dynasty, and the dynasty of the pious Sudyumna are all presented within this literature. Also related are the histories of Ila and Tara, and the description of the descendants of the sun god, including such kings as Shashada and Riga. The histories of Sukanya, Sharyati, the intelligent Kukutsta, Kadvanga, Mandhata, Sobari, and Sagara are narrated. The Bhagavatam narrates the sanctifying pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, the king of Kosala, and also explains how King Nimi abandoned his material body. The appearance of the descendants of King Janak is also mentioned. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes how Lord Parashuram, the greatest descendant of Bhrigu, annihilated all the Kshatriyas on the face of the earth. It further recounts the lives of glorious kings who appeared in the dynasty of the moon god, kings such as Ayla, Yayati, Nahusha, Dushmanta's son Bharat, Shantanu, and Shantanu's son Bhishma. Also described is the great dynasty founded by King Yadu, the eldest son of Yayati. How Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Lord of the Universe, descended into this Yadu dynasty, how he took birth in the home of Vasudeva, and how he then grew up in Gokul, all this is described in detail. Also glorified are the innumerable pastimes of Sri Krishna, the enemy of the demons, including his childhood pastimes of sucking the breast milk of Putana along with her life air, breaking the cart, trampling down Trinavrata, killing Bakasura, Vatsasura, and Agasura, and the pastimes he enacted when Lord Brahma hid his calves and cowherd boyfriends in a cave. The Srimad Bhagavatam tells how Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram killed the demon Denukasura and his companions, how Lord Balaram destroyed Pralambasura, and also how Krishna saved the cowherd boys from a raging forest fire that had encircled them. The chastisement of the serpent Kaliya, the rescue of Nanda Maharaj from a great snake, the severe vows performed by the young gopis who thus satisfied Lord Krishna, the mercy he showed the wives of the Vedic Brahmins who felt remorse, the lifting of Govardhan Hill followed by the worship and bathing ceremony performed by Indra and the Surabhi cow, Lord Krishna's nocturnal pastimes with the cowherd girls, and the killing of the foolish demons, Shankachuta, Arishta, and Keshi, all these pastimes are elaborately recounted. The Bhagavatam describes the arrival of Akrura, the subsequent departure of Krishna and Balaram, the lamentation of the gopis, and the touring of Mathura. Also narrated are how Krishna and Balaram kill the elephant Kuvalayapida, the wrestlers Mushtika and Chanura, and Kamsa and other demons, as well as how Krishna brought back the dead son of his spiritual master, Sandipani Muni. Then, O Brahmins, this scripture recounts how Lord Hari, while residing in Mathura in the company of Uddhava and Balaram, performed pastimes for the satisfaction of the Yadu dynasty. Also described are the annihilation of each of the many armies brought by Jarasandha, the killing of the barbarian king, Kalayavana, and the establishment of Dwarka city. This work also describes how Lord Krishna brought from heaven the Parijata tree and the Sudharma assembly hall, and how he kidnapped Rukmini by defeating all his rivals in battle. Also narrated are how Lord Krishna, in the battle with Banasura, defeated Lord Shiva by making him yawn, how the Lord cut off Banasura's arms, and how he killed the master of Pragjyotishapur, and then rescued the young princesses held captive in that city. There are descriptions of the powers and the deaths of the king of Chedi, Pondraka, Shalva, the foolish Dantavakra, Shambara, Dvivida, Pita, Mura, Panchajana, and other demons, along with the description of how Varanasi was burned to the ground. The Bhagavatam also recounts how Lord Krishna relieved the earth's burden by engaging the Pandavas in the battle of Kurukshetra. How the Lord withdrew his own dynasty on the pretext of the Brahmin's curse, Vasudeva's conversation with Narad, the extraordinary conversation between Uddhava and Krishna, which reveals the science of the self in complete detail and elucidates the religious principles of human society, and then how Lord Krishna gave up this mortal world by his own mystic power, the Bhagavatam narrates all these events. This work also describes people's characteristics and behavior in the different ages, the chaos men experience in the age of Kali, the four kinds of annihilation, and the three kinds of creation. There are also an account of the passing away of the wise and saintly king Vishnurata, or Parikshit, an explanation of how Srila Vyasadeva disseminated the branches of the Vedas, a pious narration concerning Markandeya Rishi, and a description of the detailed arrangement of the Lord's universal form and his form as the sun, the soul of the universe. Thus, O best of the Brahmins, I have explained herein what you have inquired from me. This literature has glorified in full detail the activities of the Lord's pastime incarnations. If when falling, slipping, feeling pain or sneezing, one involuntarily cries out in a loud voice, obeisances to Lord Hari, one will be automatically freed from all his sinful reactions. When people properly glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or simply hear about His power, the Lord personally enters their hearts and cleanses away every trace of misfortune, just as the sun removes the darkness, or as a powerful wind drives away the clouds. Words that do not describe the transcendental personality of Godhead, but instead deal with temporary matters, are simply false and useless. Only those words that manifest the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord are actually truthful, auspicious, and pious. Those words describing the glories of the all-famous personality of Godhead are attractive, relishable, and ever fresh. Indeed, such words are a perpetual festival for the mind, and they dry up the ocean of misery. Those words that do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered to be like unto a place of pilgrimage for crows, and are never resorted to by those situated in transcendental knowledge. The pure and saintly devotees take interest only in topics glorifying the infallible Supreme Lord. On the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, forms, pastimes, and so on, of the unlimited Supreme Lord, is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed toward bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. Knowledge of self-realization, even though free from all material affinity, does not look well if devoid of a conception of the infallible, or God. What then is the use of even the most properly performed fruitive activities, which are naturally painful from the very beginning and transient by nature, if they are not utilized for the devotional service of the Lord? The great endeavor one undergoes in executing the ordinary social and religious duties of the Varnashram system, in performing austerities, and in hearing from the Vedas, culminates only in the achievement of mundane fame and opulence. But by respecting and attentively hearing the recitation of the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord, the husband of the Goddess of Fortune, one can remember his lotus feet. Remembrance of Lord Krishna's lotus feet destroys everything inauspicious and awards the greatest good fortune. It purifies the heart and bestows devotion for the Supreme Soul, along with knowledge enriched with realization and renunciation. O most eminent of Brahmins, you are all indeed extremely fortunate, since you have already placed within your hearts Lord Sri Narayan, the personality of Godhead, the supreme controller and the ultimate soul of all existence, beyond whom there is no other God. You have undeviating love for him, and thus I request you to worship him. I also have now been fully reminded of the science of God, which I previously heard from the mouth of the great sage Shukdev Goswami. I was present in the assembly of great sages who heard him speak to King Parikshit as the monarch sat fasting until death. O Brahmins, I have thus described to you the glories of God, whose extraordinary activities are most worthy of glorification. This narration destroys all that is inauspicious. One who, with undeviating attention, constantly recites this literature at every moment of every hour, as well as one who faithfully hears even one verse, or half a verse, or a single line, or even half a line, certainly purifies his very self. One who hears this Bhagavatam on the Ekadasi or Dvadasi day is assured of long life, and one who recites it with careful attention while fasting is purified of all sinful reactions. One who controls his mind, fasts at the holy places Pushkara, Mathura, or Dwarka, and studies this scripture will be freed from all fear. Upon the person who glorifies this Purana by chanting or hearing it, the demigods, sages, siddhas, pitas, manus, and kings of the earth bestow all desirable things. By studying this Bhagavatam, a Brahmin can enjoy the same rivers of honey, ghee, and milk he enjoys by studying the hymns of the Rig, Yajur, and Samavedas. A Brahmin who diligently reads this essential compilation of all the Puranas will go to the supreme destination, which the Supreme Lord himself has herein described. A Brahmin who studies the Srimad Bhagavatam achieves firm intelligence in devotional service. A king who studies it gains sovereignty over the earth. A Vaishya acquires great treasure and a Shudra is freed from sinful reactions. Lord Hari, the supreme controller of all beings, annihilates the accumulated sins of the Kali Age, yet other literatures do not consider him. Supreme Personality of Godhead, appearing in his innumerable personal expansions, is abundantly and constantly described throughout the various narrations of this Srimad Bhagavatam. I bow down to that unborn and infinite Supreme Soul, whose personal energies affect the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material universe. Even Brahma, Indra, Shankara, and the other lords of the heavenly planets cannot fathom the glories of that infallible personality of Godhead. I offer my obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Eternal Lord and the leader of all other deities, who by evolving his 9 material energies has arranged within himself the abode of all moving and non-moving creatures, and who is always situated in pure, transcendental consciousness. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master, the son of Vyasadeva, Shukdev Goswami. It is he who defeats all inauspicious things within this universe. Although in the beginning he was absorbed in the happiness of Brahman realization and was living in a secluded place, giving up all other types of consciousness, he became attracted by the pleasing, most melodious pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna. He therefore mercifully spoke the Supreme Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the bright light of the Absolute Truth, and which describes the activities of the Lord. Thus ends the 12th chapter of the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Topics of Srimad Bhagavatam Summarized.